Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Now, the DUP, as you heard there in the headlines, will vote against the Windsor Framework Brexit plan this Wednesday in the House of Commons. Geoffrey Donaldson said he will continue to work with the government on outstanding issues. Speaking to our Northern editor, Vincent Carney, Donaldson said the decision was made at a meeting earlier today.
Well, certainly in its current form, we believe that the Windsor Framework does not represent sufficient progress to meet our seven tests and to address all of the concerns that we had highlighted about the harm being done by the protocol. But we'll continue to engage with the government. We're not for giving up. We want to see an outcome that unionists as well as nationalists can support, and an outcome that enables us to restore the political institutions here at Stormont. Well, it is a key element of our seven tests that the democratic deficit should be addressed. And I acknowledge that the Stormont break goes some way towards addressing that, but not all of the way. And that's why we need to continue engaging with the government, not only to address the issues around the democratic deficit, but the wider issues that arise from the continued application of EU law in Northern Ireland.
There's DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson speaking this afternoon to RTÉ's Vincent Carney. Well, in a moment we'll get reaction from unionist commentator and former director of communications for the UUP, Alex Kane. But first, I've been speaking to DUP leader and MP Colm Eastwood.
Well, I suppose we're not surprised when the DUP say no, but one of these days they're going to have to say yes. It feels like they've been trying to find a reason to act tough around all of this. But the reality is the negotiating is done. There's nothing more to get. And the DUP did quite well out of this Windsor framework. The checks are totally reduced. It would be ridiculous, so to give a full veto to, you know, 30 members of the Northern Ireland Assembly on international EU regulations. That would have been ridiculous. But the negotiations are done. Now it's time for people to get back into government. The DUP can have their position on this framework, on parts of this framework. It doesn't mean they can't go back into government and deal with the crisis in the health service.
One of the issues raised by Geoffrey Donaldson was the fact that the Stormont break, or nothing indeed about the Windsor framework, gives Northern Ireland any say over EU law that is already in place in Northern Ireland or that already affects Northern Ireland, and there's no retrospective element to the Windsor framework. Do you understand those concerns?
No, I don't. If Geoffrey wanted to have a say in European regulations, then they should have, voted to stay in the European Union. I mean, it's nonsensical. I think that the DUP have done well out of this. Their main concern at the start of all of this was checks. We have reduced the checks way down. We have dual market access. That means we can trade into two markets. I was in America all week along with Geoffrey and others, and people were very excited by that prospect that we could attract investment into Northern Ireland because of our unique access to two markets. Why would we give that away? And the reality is, if Geoffrey and the DUP don't go into government, the Stormont break doesn't exist anyway.
Well, I suppose Geoffrey Donaldson hasn't given any indication at this point, has he, that he won't return to Stormont? That was entirely absent from the statement today.
Yeah, and I think that's positive. I mean, we've all said we'll give the DUP their space. I mean, we're all entitled to our opinions. I don't think the Stormont break's a good idea at all. But we have to swallow certain things in order to get an agreement. So the DUP are very entitled to have their position on the Stormont break. But it is my very strong view that there is no more negotiating going to happen between the British government and the European Commission. Therefore, the DUP have made their protest. Now it's time to get on with it. We're all elected to lead. We're elected to be in government and to deal with the problems that are facing the people. We have a health service that has collapsed. We have an economy that needs an awful lot of support. We have now got an opportunity to bring investment into Northern Ireland. It's time, really, for the DUP to get back to government.
So do you think, Colm, that that's possibly what's going to happen here then, that the DUP is voicing its concerns via a protest, via voting against the Windsor framework in Westminster this week, but that at the end of the day, they will indeed go back into Stormont?
Well, look, it's very difficult to get into the minds of the DUP, but the reality is that the protest has been made, the negotiations have happened, the deal has been signed, and this part of it will pass through the British Parliament on Wednesday, and the European Union and the British government are moving on. So You know, I don't really see the point anymore of the DUP staying out of government, and they should look at the lessons of the past. When Sinn Féin came out of government, it was 3.5 years before they could come back in, despite the fact that they wanted to get in long before that. So it's up to all of us to work the common ground to realise that actually the British government can't be trusted, and the only people that we can work together with are the parties in Northern Ireland. And I think the DUP should realise we have more in common than we have with the British government.
Of course, some analysis suggests that Geoffrey Donaldson is not really the master of his own party, that this deal has not been sold very well to unionists by the British government, that the government hasn't answered basic questions, hasn't published, you know, the detail behind much of the deal, so it's made it very difficult for him to bring people along with them. And of course, he has the TUV looking over his shoulder as well, and Jim Allister. With all that, taking all that into account, what would happen, do you think, if the DUP don't go back into Stormont? What happens then?
Well, we all have our dissidents, you know, but the whole point of political leadership is that you do what you think is right. I think there is still time and for the DUP to get back into government. If they don't get back into government, then they have to realise that, you know, direct rule is not a thing anymore. And the Good Friday Agreement means that both the British and Irish traditions have to be represented in government. We need to govern, because it really isn't credible anymore to not have a government given the state of our health service and everything else. So I think we will then quickly move to a discussion about some form of joint authority between the British and Irish government. It would be the only thing. It's not the best thing. It's not what we want, but it would be the only thing that would give voice to the two traditions, because, you know, it's just not going to be acceptable that only the British government would have to govern, and because somebody has to govern now at this stage.
And do you expect that to happen realistically? Do you expect Westminster, Rishi Sunak, to agree to anything like that?
Well, I mean, I think what the DUP should realise, and the lesson of history and very recent history, is that they can't trust the British government. So, I mean, if they want to figure out who they can trust, it is the people who've been giving them space and time to do the right thing and to get back into government. We've all agreed to work the common ground and work together. That's the whole ethos of the Good Friday Agreement 25 years later. So, if the DUP want to do that, we're all ready and willing to do it. But the point is, there's no going back. There's no recall direct rule anymore. And the next step is pretty obvious.
That was SDLP leader Colm Eastwood speaking to us a little earlier on. Well, just turning now to former UUP Director of Communications, Alex Kane. You're very welcome to the programme, Alex. Do you think today's announcement came as a surprise to anyone in the unionist community?
No, I don't think it did. And I think that's because the Democratic Unionist Party established a panel a couple of weeks ago, an 8-strong panel, which is due to report at the end of this month, which is, what, another 10 days. And there's absolutely no way they could have agreed anything today, because if they'd voted yes, it would have just simply became everyone said, well, that's it. You've obviously made up your mind that the panel is going to agree to the whole thing. It would have weakened Donaldson's hand, not simply with the British government, but also with the loyalism and the TUV, who are very unhappy, who don't want any part of the Windsor framework. So I think this, not a negotiating tactic as such, but I think just, and not even a shooting over the bows, I think there's just nowhere else or anything else that the DUP could have done. But it does send a message to them from the British government, which will worry them, which is that no matter what you guys do in 10 weeks or 10 days, whether you reject this in its entirety or actually decide to run with it, that doesn't really matter, because we are going to implement it anyway. And I think that will force some people in the DUP to sit down and think, well, what will we do in 10 days' time, irrespective of whether we back it or go for it?
Is it possible for the expert panel to come back with any decision other than no, now that they voted no, or now that they plan to vote no this week?
Well, I think, yes, I think you're given the history of the DUP, you need to go back actually to 2007, when a couple of weeks before the arrangement between the Sinn Féin and the DUP, with Martin McGuinness as Deputy First Minister to Ian Paisley, the common view across the DUP, when you talked across unionism and you talked loyalism, the view was there is no way on God's earth that Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness are going to sit in government together and reboot an executive on that basis. And yet, a few weeks after the 2007 election, that's exactly what they did, because they both found themselves in a position which in reality was, either they did something which both were going to be entirely uncomfortable with, or they just let the whole assembly drop completely. And I think, Sarah, I think that's where the DUP will find themselves in the next few weeks, that if they don't, if they decide to completely walk away from the assembly, no, this is the protocol was unacceptable, the framework is unacceptable, we will not be going back into the assembly, we will not be setting up the executive, I think there comes a point then that people start asking, well, if that's going to be your position, is unionism walking away? And if it does walk away completely, what is the alternative to devolved government in Northern Ireland, where the DUP are still the second largest party, with the possibility in 2 or 3 years' time re-emerging as the largest party? But if you walk away, all of that just implodes or explodes into dust.
Well, as I mentioned to Colm Eastwood earlier, there was nothing in the statement today about whether or not they would return to power sharing. But Geoffrey Donaldson was talking to Vincent Carney about this matter this afternoon. Let's have a listen to that.
Well, we are clear that at this point, we don't believe sufficient progress has been made. But we are going to continue engaging with the government. We want to see our concerns being addressed. And if we believe sufficient progress has been made, then, of course, we will examine if that provides the basis for restoring the political institutions. And to be absolutely clear, I want to see Stormont back up and running. I want to see a stable government in Northern Ireland that both unionists and nationalists can support. And what we're engaged in is to bring about the circumstances in which we have a cross-community consensus. And that is essential for the stable functioning of democratic government in Northern Ireland.
So, Alex, he's talking there about continuing to negotiate with the British government and seeing if sufficient progress has been made. But as you say, the government has given the DUP, you know, quite a signal here by going ahead with this vote this week when they're still knowing the DUP are waiting for their expert panel to report. Do you think there's any chance the British government negotiating on anything more in relation to this?
I don't think there's anything they can negotiate, because negotiation is obviously a two-way process, and the EU has made it fairly clear that it's not returning to this. The EU, don't forget, EU has been here before. It was here with the original backstop back in 2018. It was here with the NI protocol with Boris Johnson. It doesn't want to do this again. Here's an agreement and then have to unpick it. So it's not going to do that. What is possible, Sarah? And I think we're at one of those moments where unionism is looking for something. It's about a protection of itself. It's one of the big things about the protocol and about the framework document. Unionism, and it's not just the DUP, by the way, but unionism generally feels that somehow it has been sidelined. It's no longer fully part of the United Kingdom because of the EU regulations and law. It feels in some sense that it has been damaged and weakened, but it still has. The only way it can cease to be part of the United Kingdom is if there's a border poll in which a majority doesn't want to stay in the United Kingdom. But it is possible, I think, for the Prime Minister, maybe with a nod of approval, not having to open negotiations, to say something like, we will keep a watching brief on the framework document. We will keep a watching brief over the next 2 to 3 to 4 years of what's happening. And if we think collectively that things could be improved, how business is done, how transition is done, how trading is done, how arrangements and channels are done, then we will keep that watching brief. And you won't have to wait. We will actually do it for you. I think if they have some sort of reassurance that this is not a one-way ticket to some new hybrid state for Northern Ireland, then I think Donaldson can sell something. And the other thing he has to bear in mind is that what Sunak has done, I don't know if it was his original intention, but it certainly will play a factor in those who have been thinking about this. Basically, the question is no longer, I think, are you for the framework document or are you against the framework document? I think if Sunak is now making it clear that irrespective of what unionism does, the framework document is going to remain in play, it becomes a question then Donaldson has to put to his opponents inside the party and outside the party, but also to unionists generally. If we reject this at this point, have we got to that moment when we have to make the call between devolution and the assembly, or between direct rule? And if that is the choice, what would direct rule look like? Mm. Because it's certainly not going to be a form of direct rule in which the Irish government and Sinn Féin and nationalism in Northern Ireland is going to be told to clear off. They're no longer a part of the game. Okay. So I think Donaldson will have to say to people, you know, this is a much tougher decision now than it was 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Very interesting to speak to you, Alex Kane, former UUP Director of Communications. Thank you very much for joining us.